prayer as we begin this portion of the service. Father, thank you so much for bringing us all together. We thank you that you have built in us your spirit and your desires, your will, your character. Lord, I pray as we look into your word now that you would impress upon us how important it is to stand firm in those values and that faith. Lord, we pray now that you would open our hearts and our ears. Lord, that you would come through me as your vessel to share the message that you have. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we all know, the drama continues in our country, also around the world. The world is still in turmoil. Christianity is still under attack, probably more so than ever before. The United States is not so united. And we wonder in our minds, in our hearts, you know, why is all this happening? Some use the term, why can't we all just get along? And our leaders, are they really that insane? Or are they ignorant? Or are they both? You know, what is going on with the whole world situation? It just seems so crazy. But we're going to find in the Scriptures the answer to that. And so I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, 1781 in the Pew Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be there the whole time, so you can just open it to 1781. Chapter 6, starting in verse 10, we'll read the first couple, three verses here. Paul writing this, he says in verse 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And so, we find that our leaders, this world, is controlled by dark forces. In fact, I would say to you that if you ask the leader why he's doing what he's doing, he's going to give you all kinds of answers, but he's never going to say, "The devil's controlling me." You know, like Flip Wilson, what was that? "The devil made me do it." They're never going to say that because they don't even know that's what's happening. They believe that they're doing this for either the good of the people or the good of themselves. They believe that they are following the things that they desire with power and fame and all the other things that go along with that, and some of the more repressed or oppressed countries, if they're doing it for power and to oppress the people and get money, money, money. Ever since the beginning of time, Satan has been trying to undermine and destroy the work and the plan of God. It's been a subtle attack throughout history. And I'm going to give some examples. We know right from the beginning in the Scriptures, Adam and Eve. Remember what Satan did? He attacked Adam's wife. He didn't go to Adam. He went to his wife. And she didn't know all the details that Adam knew because she was created from Adam. He was supposed to fill her in, but she didn't get the memo. He attacked her and got her to fail. Abraham's faith, he attacked Abraham's faith that he would have a child by Sarah, and he failed. David, we all know about his weaknesses. It's not just Bathsheba that he fell with. You can look at those in 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, all the story about David. His family was a wreck too. His kids didn't really like him much. Absalom tried to dethrone him and kill him, actually. And so David's family not only was a wreck, but also his situation falling with Bathsheba. But you know, God came through, didn't he? Because where Satan wanted to make a defeat, God made it into a victory because Solomon was born through Bathsheba and David. And then Solomon also became part of the genealogy of Jesus. See, Satan was trying to throw a wrench into that and ruin the genealogy to Jesus. And then Jesus' birth, you know all about that. Herod tried to kill all the children and all the boys to stop that from happening. And of course, you know, you just think about it a while. You know, Mary was great with child, it says in the scripture. She was very pregnant, about ready to give birth. And what does Satan do? He causes a census to be taken. So she has to travel to Bethlehem with her husband Joseph. I mean, how many of you women pregnant 8, 9 months would want to ride on a donkey? I don't think anybody takers on that. You know, that would have been a difficult, maybe even a miscarriage, right? But God protected. Throughout Jesus' life, the very people who should have been backing him up were trying to kill him. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, were seeking ways, scheming together how they could kill Jesus. And then even in Jesus' death, I'm sure Satan was like, I finally got him. But God made another way and rose him from the grave. Christians come to the United States because of persecution in their own countries. You know, England was persecuting Christians in the day. There was the government church. And the church would control everything. You know that people in England, the general population, could not have a Bible. It was illegal to have a Bible, to own one. And you could be killed for owning one. And finally, you know, through history, the Gutenberg Bible was printed. They finally got it in a printing press. And then King James came along and he thought, well, everybody should have a Bible. And so he started to print it out. Well, you see, that took away the control of the church. But the Christians, the people who wanted to be able to serve and praise God totally and be free to do that according to the scriptures, they escaped and came to the United States. But even then, there was persecution between Christians. How we should do this and how we should do that. What day of the week to have worship service on. They've developed these creeds, and we've all heard them before. And they had these creeds that defined each different church. And they fought amongst themselves how to do the Lord's Supper. When church should meet. Baptism. Salvation. And then all of a sudden, cults began to develop. You know, Satan decided, well, you know, let me confuse Christianity. Let me confuse how they worship and what they do. And that started to work a little bit, but, you know, people started to fight against it. The fundamentalist group arose up and they began to develop a conservative way and looking in the scriptures and following it totally and completely. And then Jefferson comes along. And in 1801, he talks about, and writing something completely separate from the Constitution, he writes something that says that the church and the state should not be one and the same. There should be a separation. And oh boy, Satan jumped on that one. Because in 1878, all of a sudden, separation of church and state became a commonality. The Supreme Court used it in one of their findings. In 1878, back in the 1800s, it already started. Separation of church and state has been harming the gospel and the Christian faith in America now since. Late in the 19th century, the liberal theology emerged. Humanism rose up. 1922, individual developed the Compulsory Education Act, and it was introduced to eliminate private schools, that there would be no more church schools, there would be no more separate schools from the public school. Well, that was struck down as unconstitutional, thank God. But it didn't end there, because in 1925, the Scopes Monkey Trial started. Sounds funny, but that was the first time that evolution entered the schools, because before, It was Christian, taught from the Bible. Creation. 1948, the World Council of Churches developed. Interestingly enough, several of the important representatives of the World Council of Churches were communist KGB agents. Can you believe that? So here, Russia, the communist Russia, are developing policies and stuff, and they don't even believe in God. But they believe in Him enough to say, we'll use Him in our philosophy. Because you see, they realized in the Communist Manifesto, they realized that you can't have government and spirituality separate. You have to have them together to have complete power over the people. Because the government by itself, you know, there's still religious freedom. And the people, if they have religious freedom, are going to follow the religious freedom. And they're going to rise up and they're going to want to have freedom. And you can't have that in a communist state. So you bring in the church to the state, and then all of a sudden the church preaches what you want them to preach. And that's exactly what we're heading for, if you haven't noticed already. In the 1950s, prayer was removed from schools. In the 1970s, abortion rose up. In the 1990s, we began to redefine the family. Well, it's not just a man and a woman anymore. It can be anybody who decides to come together and be a family. And then in the 2000s, we have tolerance. Well, you can't preach against that because we got to be tolerant. We can't preach sin, black and white, because that's no good. We got to have gray areas. Everybody's okay. In fact, I just saw a commercial the other day, and it just was... exactly what the subtlety of Satan is. It showed a priest and it showed Islam religious leader having breakfast together. And after breakfast, you know, it shows that they bought something on Amazon or whatever it was, and it happened to be knee pads. They bought them for each other, right? Knee pads for him, knee pads for him. And it was like, oh, isn't that amazing? You know, and then it shows them both kneeling down, worshiping God. All this subtlety is to say that, well, you know, we're all one religion. We all believe in the same God, don't we? Well, no, we don't. You know, I want to be clear. Islam does not believe in the God of the Bible, the Isaac and Abraham. They believe one God. Remember that? They say God is one. They don't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ. They don't believe Jesus Christ was God. Muhammad, he was a prophet. And they believe in him. Believe in one God. And if you won't believe that, you know, according to the Quran, they'll kill you. That's according to the Quran. If you don't convert, then they have the right to kill you. Because you won't convert. You see, it's not so subtle anymore. It's becoming more and more prevalent. And if you stand against it, you're the bad guy. If you say something against anything that Scripture says that it's wrong, you're preaching hate. You're speaking hate. So little by little, Christianity's been pushed back and out of the community and out of the country. That was founded on Christian principles. And then, besides that, they're trying to rewrite history to make America independent from Christ. A country that's not founded on Christ. Remember what, you know, and I hate to say it, our current president for only a few more days said, America is no longer a Christian nation. That's a quote. You see, we want to draw it away and draw it away and draw it away so that pretty soon, well, we're just anything and everything. But according to real history, America was founded on Christian principles. The Constitution was written according to Christian principles. The plan was to have a country that would follow God. But now, we've allowed little by little that to be nicked away and nicked away until now we have, what do we have? a country that's divided, a country that looks at Christians as the problem. And the government now, and those who are following Satan's plan, they don't want to totally eliminate religion. No, that's not the point. But they want religion to follow the government. They want religion to follow Satan's principles. Just a few lies, just enough. And if you look across the country, you find that churches generally are not following the Bible any longer. I've had several people who come to this church visiting, and I'll shake hands, and they'll wait around and come back and talk to me. And they'll say, it's so good to be in a church that actually preaches the Bible. And I said, isn't that what all the churches are doing? They say, no, they're not. They're preaching opinion now. They're preaching feelings now. They're preaching the government philosophy, or the satanic philosophy, I should say. Because the thing that's going on is that, as I said, the leaders, they don't understand what they're doing. They think they're doing things for the good of the people. One world religion, one world government. Globalism, we call it. And they say, well, that's the way it should go, so that we all can work together, we can have peace in this world. But I've got news for you. According to the scriptures, we're never going to have total peace in the world. Because there is evil. There is a satanic agenda. Now, I want you to go back to Ephesians. Let's read the rest of that. Starting in verse 13, it says, therefore, since we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, etc., etc., since that's happening, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, and with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, that with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Does that sound like we should kick back, relax, and enjoy things till Jesus comes? Now, that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that the world's condition is because Satan is running it. He's running the leaders because they want power and ego, and he just feeds that all day long. He just feeds that. And our leaders are following it and hook, line, and sinker. They're hooked because it's such a great draw. Satan wants to destroy the family. Strength is in strong families. A country is built on the families, and he's tearing them down, making fathers and mothers look like idiots. That they have no intelligence whatsoever, and that the children actually have all the sense and they have all the control. And we see kids are running households according to our TV programs and movies, etc. Marriage is at an all-time low. Well, why get married? You just live together. That's okay. Just do that. And you know what that does? It weakens the family. We're taught to be committed and marry one another. And children, you know, they're addicted to these things. You ever watch them walk around? You know? I mean, what was it? Some lady walked into a fountain at a mall because she was looking at her phone and texting or whatever she was doing. And then she wanted to sue the mall for putting the fountain there. And see how ridiculous things have become. And then you go into school, our children are taught lessons, not from God, anti-God lessons, and ridiculed for different beliefs. Technology has hypnotized our population. taken away interaction with each other. Yeah, it's so interesting that kids will sit in a room together and they'll text each other sitting in the room together. And now they've introduced this virtual reality thing where you put the goggles on and you can sit in your room all day long and just go, wow. Get out there. Meet people. Do something. You know, we've visited a lot of places. We love to go travel and visit things. And we've gone to the Grand Canyon. We've seen many of the sites across the country, you know, as we travel down to Florida and Washington, D.C., and some of those places that have some great, you know, monuments and things that you can see. But now you don't have to leave your home. You can put on the goggles and travel anywhere you want. But then you know what? You never meet anybody. You know, we were on the train going to the Washington Monument for that prayer rally, and we were just sitting there, and Kathy sees this guy has a hat on that says, you know, praise God or God lives, something to Jesus. I love Jesus, that's right, a heart or whatever. And she says, let's go talk to him. Well, I'm kind of an introvert, you know. I mean, you wouldn't think so because I stand in front of people and I kind of blab my mouth or whatever. But I am mostly an introvert. I'm not one to jump out and say, hi, how are you? My name's Phil. I don't do that. Well, Kathy said, come on, let's do that. And I thought, you know, I need to step out of my shell a little bit. And so we went and sat over by him and found out there are pastors from a different states, St. Louis area and stuff, and still keep in contact with them now. It was great. We kind of hung together and went to the rally together. That's what happens when you meet each other, when you put your phone down and when you start talking to different people. You find out things. You know, the other thing that's grabbed our people, and not just our teens, not just our youth, is drugs. But what have they said? It's an epidemic in the United States. Drugs flowing across borders and stifling the minds of our young people and our old people. It was crazy. We were watching a program and not just young people are nailed by heroin, but older people now too. They showed some kids in a home and they weren't using drugs. The parents were. And they said, we don't know what to do because our parents just lay on a couch most of the day in a drug stupor. They're hooked on drugs and our minds are gone. Pornography is another thing that has grabbed the minds of our people. And you know where the greatest offense is? In the United States. We're the ones that produce it. No wonder some of these countries hate us because we've put out these kinds of atrocities. So you know what? We take away the security of the people. You know, Satan, little by little, has taken away the security of people. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to do anything anymore. We were talking about it the other day, how you know, when you go to a store or a restaurant or whatever and you hand somebody money, if the cash register goes out, what do? They stare at you. A few years ago, that happened. I went to a place and handed the girl some money, and the cash register, the electric went down. So she opened the till. She was able to do that, grabbed a bunch of money out, and handed me all the money and just said, here. I said, hold on. Let me show you how to count it. And so I counted it out for her, the change. She goes, oh, wow, that's neat. Generally, people don't know how to count out money. Our younger generation has not been taught practical things. And so what happens, it's a plan. Because the more that you rely on the government, the more you rely on the things that are handed to you, the more you give up your rights. You give up everything. And you become a slave to Satan, not a servant of God. And I want to tell you, it's governments are not evil in of themselves. They're evil because the people in them are letting Satan run them. So what do we do with it? You know, they want our children from cradle to grave. The scriptures in 1 John tell us that the spirit of the Antichrist is at work now. You know, we talk about, oh, the Antichrist is coming. Well, he's already here. It's just that Satan's not ready to reveal him yet. And the time isn't right yet. God is holding it back. Thank God. But there's going to come a time where God won't hold it back any longer. We're here to stand firm. According to Ephesians chapter 6, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We're not supposed to be wimpy weaklings who sit there and go, oh, well, the government's going to do that. I guess we just got to let them do it. A man told, he was being interviewed, and he said, the church failed. We gave up our rights. When Johnson made that law that we shouldn't talk against the government, we did it at church, I'm talking generally, the church did it to get the tax-exempt status. We sold our soul so we wouldn't talk against the government, or talk and stand firm against them so that we would have our tax-exempt status. We all along have been just kind of saying, well, you know what, don't get involved in government because, you know, nobody survives. It's an evil force. We don't want to get involved in government. But I want to tell you that I think we failed in that area too. We need Christian lawyers. We need Christian judges. We need Christian politicians. And yeah, it's not easy. It will be tough. There's sacrifice. You're going to find yourself attacked because of Satan's world. But we need to stand firm. And we need to stand up. He says, we don't wrestle against, we don't struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the powers. But you know what? Greater is He that's in me than he's in the world. I have the power in Christ to stand firm. And so therefore, he says, put on the full armor. We're not in a retirement home. We're in a battle for America, for the world. Now you say, okay, well, prophecy says it's the way the world's going to go, and eventually Jesus is coming, so, you know, let's just let it go. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. Romans 6 is interesting. It talks about sin. He says, should we go on sinning that grace may abound? Well, if we don't go on sinning that grace may abound, because Paul said, forbid it not, for, you know, heck no. We can't do that. We've got to stand firm. We've got to fight sin. So we've got to do the same thing in our faith, in our government, in our communities. Don't let them take over. If they start talking transgender bathrooms and everything's cool, we've got to stand up and say no. We refuse to allow it to happen. And if that means going to the school board and saying that's the way we feel and being, you know, when I was on the school board, when something wasn't right, when the people didn't like something, boy, they showed up in droves. We had to get the auditorium sometimes because we knew something, you know, people were going to come in droves and were going to protest whatever it was. That should happen all the time with the Christians if they bring up something, we don't even know half of what goes on in the school board, I'm sorry to say. You know, once I got out of the school board, you know, I haven't been to a school board meeting yet. That shouldn't be. You know, they have them only once a month. You know, we should show up, find out what's going on, because I'm telling you right now, there's stuff going on there that you would shudder. Little by little, Satan just says, you know, forget about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Just let it happen. I mean, you can't change it anyways. Oh, yes, we can. There's been a lot of fights going on in the government and in communities to stand firm for our faith. There are Christian lawyers who are fighting. There was a kid that wore a t-shirt that said, Jesus saves, or something like that, and he was sent home. Christian lawyers are coming on the scene saying, hey, that's not offensive speech. That's his religious right. Didn't have a teacher wearing that t-shirt, but he had a student wearing a t-shirt. One student was handing out Bible verses. They kicked him out of school. Christian lawyers came on the scene. You can't do that. They defended him, and the school had to let him back in the school. You see, we just let it go. Oh, gee whiz, you know, they kicked us out of school. I guess we got to accept that. No, we don't. We have Jesus Christ behind us. We have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe behind us. In our hearts, according to this scripture here, we need to stand firm. We need to get ready for the battle. We need to buckle up. We need to get on our big Christian pants and put those on and get ready to stand for our Lord and our Savior, and to stand for our children, and to stand for our own faith and our beliefs. Because that's what Satan isn't counting on. He's counting on us to just back off. But we got to stand firm. I'd like us to close with, to God be the glory, because it's His salvation, His power. And it's praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory. Great things He has done. Let's all stand and sing the first and last verses up on the screen.